We're going to start the top of Zion Amud Aleph. From the bottom of Vav and Bet, we left off with the statement or the Gemara explaining what, when Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says that it's a mitzvah to do pshara, what does that mean, mitzvah? So Gemara says mitzvah is that you give the litigants the option of what they want to do. When they show up, you go, do you want us to go the derech of din? Or do you want us to go the derech of pshara? What would you prefer in this situation? Would you prefer a settlement or would you prefer adjudication? So Mar says, well, if you do that already, the guy says, Hainu Tanakama. Well, then that's the same as the Tanakama that we saw before. And the Tanakama was the position we saw the bottom of the previous Umud and the top of the bottom of Vavan Aleph, top of Vavan Be, which is that Kishem Shadin B'Shalsha Kach B'Tzua B'Shalsha, and then Nigmar Din, Yata Rasha Libta. That if the Din is finished, you can't be Butzea. But it sounds like from before the din was, if you're before the Gemara din, then you'd be fine about being Botzea. So Gemara says, no, that's it. Ika benayo mitzvah. There's a difference between them about which we prefer, or which we consider to be optimal. Rav Shua ben Karcha says, mitzvah. Rav Shua ben Karcha believes that it's a mitzvah, you should push the litigants towards a settlement or towards pshara. Tanakama says, reshut. It's an option. It's the option is there, but not that we prefer or would guide towards one of the two positions, or you could say that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha believes it's a mitzvah to offer them the option of shara and din, whereas the Tanakhama says it's up to you. You want to offer, you don't have to offer it. You can if you want. It's not that you're obligated or that there's a mitzvah for you to offer such a possibility. When it says, well, if that's the case, then it turns out that the Tanakhama now, who we're describing, which is after, by the time you get to Nigmar Din, you can't be Botzea, before that you can. That sounds like Rav Shimon ben Manasya that we had yesterday. Rav Shimon ben Manasya says that until you hear the Shnaim Shabbat Lufanech Ladin, Achel Tishma Divrehem, Moshin Tishma Divrehem, Vi'ata Yodaleichan Dinote, Ata Rasher Lomar Lahem Tzu Uvitzu. Moshin Tishma Divrehem, once you've heard the litigants give their, make their case or plead their case, and Ata Yodaleichan Dinote, and you have a gut feel of which way it's going, Yata Rasher Lomar Lahem Tzu Uvitzu, then you're not allowed to say anything. So that sounds like the Tanakama now. The Tanakama says, until Gemara Din, right, you can be Botzea after Gemara Din, no. So what's the difference between them? So Gemara says, no. Ikevinayo, Mishitishma Divrehem, Vata Yodele, Echana Din Note. There are different stages in the case. It has to do with Rav Shimon ben Manasya is when you heard what they had to say. And you have a sense of where the case is going. Yata Rashad Omar, Lehem Tzu Bitzu. You're now allowed to demand of them or request of them to go out and settle. But the Tanakama believes that you can ask them to settle until the Gemara Din has been given. According to Rashi, that means that you say Chayev or Patur. According to Tosfos, says until you reach the point right before that, the stage right before you actually make the statement of who's Chayev and who's Patur. But there are different stages. So Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says that settlement is precluded once you reach the stage where you have a sense of where the case is going. Whereas the Tanakama says you have until the point in time where it's over, basically. Till it's over, you're allowed to encourage settlement. Again, we saw the Shulte Giburim yesterday that might only apply to the judge himself making such a decision, but the litigants could continue to settle even after the Psak Din, or even after the case is completed. The Rishonim, the Poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam discuss the cases where, for instance, the person's Chayiv HaShavua. If the conclusion of the case, the Psak Din, is that he has to give a Shavua, then that the Poskim say that you could still do Pshara there, and you could still encourage settlement, because taking the Shavua is still an action that you could settle about and not have him take the Shavua, or not take a Shavua Levatala. So if we can settle, even after there's a Gemar Din, but there's still an open issue, which is that you have to do something like take a Shavua, there we still allow you to settle, or we still allow the judge to encourage them to settle in that case. So now the Gemara says, Upligi Dereb Tanchum Bar Hachinai, Hachinilai, this pasuk was only said about Maase Egel. Which pasuk? That is a three-way machlokas here. Rashi begs the pasuk is Obotzei Abarach Neitz Hashem, which is the original pasuk that we started to darshin about whether pshara is an optimal solution, or according to that, if you say Obotzei Abarach Neitz Hashem, the way Rabbi Elazar Baruch Rabbi Yosef Glee interpreted it, that din is the optimal solution. Right, Tosfos says that Keneged Maase Egel, we're talking about the pasuk of Torat Emet, because that's the pasuk that we said before about Aaron, and there it says Rabim Heshiv Me'avon, that many people he returned from sin. And the last possibility is Rabbeinu Chananel suggests is that we're talking about the pasuk of Reshit Madon, that by Rishit Madon, right, Poter Mayim Rishit Madon. So one of those three psukim we're explaining right now. We'll see what it says, and then we'll explain how each pasuk fits. So it says, Lo Nevar Mekazel Kenega Masayego Shenemar, Vayar Aron saw, Vayivain, and he understood, Mizbeach Lefanav, he saw, he understood what was on the Mizbeach before him. Now Vayivain, that really means he built the Mizbeach. Right, so Vayar Aron he saw, and then he built the Mizbeach. Problem is that the Torah never tells you what he saw. So now the Gemara suggests, Amar Rabinian Bar Yefet, Amar Ozer Ra'o Chur, Shezavuach Lefanav, saw his nephew, Chur, lying dead, killed in front of him. Amar, Ilo Shemanaluhu, if I don't listen to the people to build the ego, Ashravudli Kadavdu Chur, they're gonna do to me like they did with Chur, Umekayim be, and with me it'll be a much bigger problem. Why? Mireg Mikdash Hashem Kohen Navi. Right, so in Echa, it describes one of the parts of Echa is a question about how the Jews could have killed Zechariah, who was a Kohen and a Navi, and they killed him in Mikdash Hashem, and that's a sin that is irreparable or something that cannot be rectified and it will cause great punishment to Klai Yisrael. Once they did that, there'd be no reversing it. Mutav, they'll abdu egel, better that they do the egel, not kill me, esher avi alu takanta b'tshuva. At least they have an option of doing tshuva that could rectify the situation. So based on that, we go back to the psukim now. Rashi says, ubotzei aberach ne'itz Hashem. So that is Aaron, who, this is a negative statement, Aaron, who justified what he did by talking himself into saying that it's okay to do the ego. And that's what we say, Barach, Neitz Hashem. That type of justification, that type of behavior, Neitz Hashem. Hashem is not appreciative of it. It was wrong. He made the wrong decision. He talked himself into it. He thought that was the right answer. That's very Rashi. That's it. Tarsus learns, Rabim Heshiv Mi'avon, that the Pasuk that talks about from Malachi, that says that he brought back many from sin, that's a positive statement about what Aaron did here. He protected the people from having a sin that was not rectifiable. So that's Rabim Heshiv Mi'avon. He protected them from sin. And Rabbeinu Chananel says the pasuk here is Reshit Porter Mayim Reshit Madon, right, which is referring to the Maseh Ego of Aaron. Once he opened up the gates to let everything flow, then it wasn't right. It was unstoppable. Once he opened up or the opportunity, what they could do, then it became, it just went and went and went until they were obeyed Avodah Zarah. Alright. And it's not, these Tanaim, the other Tanaim that don't learn Poter Mayim Reshit Madon, that once you've reached a certain point within the case, you are no longer allowed to ask for settlement, that we learned that, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh learned that from the puzzle, Poter Mayim Reshit Madon. Once you've let too much water come out, you can't, you know, once they release the water, it's the same thing. Once a quarrel has already gotten underway or gotten deep in the sides have become entrenched, you can't settle anymore. So now, what are the other Tanayim who don't believe that? For instance, the Tanakam we said before says you can go until Gemar Din. What do they do with this pasuk? My Darshibe. The Rav Amnuna, they learn like Rav Amnuna. Dam Rav Amnuna ain't chletino shel adam, you don't know Divrei Torah. Person goes up to Shemayim, the first thing they ask him about is Divrei Torah. Meaning, whether you are Osek b'Torah or not Osek b'Torah, Shinemar. Boter Mayim, Mayim meaning Torah. It's a Boter Mayim, Rishit Madon. That the first part of the judgment is about Mayim, about the Torah. Of course, the problem is that the Gemara in Bamem Adikim, in the Gemara in Shabbos, says that when a person goes up, the first question they ask him is Nasata Venatata Ve'emuna. Did you conduct yourself in a just and proper manner? Did you deal in business fairly and equitably? So how come now the Gemara is suggesting that it's Al Divrei Torah? So Tosfos offers one possibility. One possibility is that they ask the question first about Nasata v'Natata v'Emuna. But when it comes to the din, when it comes to punishment, the one you punish for first is that you were not Osek b'Torah. That's one possibility. Or, the Gemara over here is talking about, over there, Adam who already learned Torah. A person who's Osek b'Torah, then the first question they ask them is Nasata v'Natata v'Emuna. Over here we're talking about someone who did not learn Torah whatsoever, and therefore his din is going to be on the Torah. The other possibility, some of the Achronim explain that the difference here is between when. One of these might refer to the din when you come up to Shemayim, and one of them might have to do with the din in Tchiyat HaMeitim, or Om Haba, whatever it is that the difference is, but they try to reconcile between this Gemara and the Gemara in Bamei Madlikim. So Amar Rav Huna, quarrel, Damya B'Tzinora De Bidka De Mayo. So that any quarrel is similar 2:8, Sinor de Bidka of water. What is that? That means that when the river used to overflow, they used to have these water trenches that allowed the water to go through. Now, if you stop the water early on, then you can stop the water from spreading. If you don't stop it right up front, the water becomes overwhelming, and then you can't stop the water from flowing out or going through the channels. So that's what Gemara says. Atigra, Rav Huna suggests that a quarrel, if you stop it early, if you nip it in the bud, you can stop it. Once it's gone on for a while, or once the positions have become entrenched, it's impossible to settle or to unwind it. So the same way that the water that goes through this channel, again, up front you can stop it. Once it's already flowing, it's very hard to stop. Because came into Rabach, Rabach. Once it's expanded, once it's flowing, you can't stop it. Same thing with a quarrel. Abai Kshishamar, Domi Luguda de Gamlo, came into Kam Kam. So it's like a bridge where you put down planks. When you put the planks down on the bridge, when you first put the planks down, they're loose. But as people walk on them and they get pressed down, they become more secure. They don't shake when you walk on the bridge. So same thing by our case over here. If you up front stop the fighting or stop the quarrel that's going on, then they still have a chance to rectify or settle because the boards are still loose. Once the boards harden, once people's positions harden, then you cannot solve the problem. Rashi claims over here that Abai Kshisha is just making a statement, has nothing to do with the Pasuk. The Rebbeinu Tam on the other hand says no, that the Tosfos over here suggests no, that that is the explanation of the same Pasuk, which is that Poteret Amayim. Why? Because a bridge is Poteret Amayim. A bridge allows you to cross over, to be above the water. So that's why it's Poter Amayim Reshit Madon. So the Gemara uses a bridge as a mashal for what happens in a Reshit Madon, the beginning of a quarrel. Right now the Gemara says, Ha'udah Abba Kamar Ba'azio. The Gemara is going to bring here a series of memrot of people who had, commonly would say, or this was a saying that was common to them. They'd always say something like this. So this person, this individual, the Hava Kamar Ba'azio used to come along and say, I mean, then on a regular basis would say such a thing. Tovia or Tovei Deshama Va'adish. The person who is good, or what is good for a person, is someone who hears negativity about him, hears him being derogatory statements about himself, Adish, and he's silent. Chilfua Bishte Mea. With that, he has passed by or stopped from himself 100 bad things. Why? Samalei Shmuel Ravuda, Kroktiv, that's a pasuk. Poter Mayim, Reshit Madon, the one who is Poter, releases the water, lets things go, right? Or Reshit Madon, what is Reshit Madon? Reshit Madon is Resh Mea Dine, it's the beginning of 100 dinim. So, different possibilities. One is, that's a notrikun. Reshit Madon is Resh Mea Dinin. So, Poter Mayim, someone who lets it flow, lets things go by, then he is freed from 100 dinim. The other possibility is that Madon in Gematria is Mea, is 100. Since Madon is 100, same thing, the same idea that a person is protected from 100 dinim when he lets things go by. Meaning the person should not be makpid on his honor, his kavod. He should allow things to fall off his shoulders. All right. How Dava Kamar Ba'azio? Person you is commonly would say, Atarta Yutzlat Ganva Lo Mikto. The second or third time a thief is not killed for stealing. Meaning that people tend not to, people get away with things the two or three times. But after that, it gets more serious. Don't think just because you haven't been punished for something you've done wrong, that means that Hashem just lets it go. No, it tends to be that the people have rachamim or things are slower to take hold when it comes two or three times. By the time the fourth time comes around, they're going to get you. So don't be so certain of yourself just because you haven't been punished yet. Mashmul Rabbi Yehuda, Kroktiv, we have a pasuk that says that supports that. Komar Hashem, Ashlosha Pishay Israel, Varba'a Lo Ashivenu. The first three, I can handle it. By the fourth one, Lo Ashivenu, I can't anymore. That's what Hashem says about the Klal Yisrael. Oh, Deba Kamar Vazio, person who is regular to say, come along with say all the time, Shav Biri Lishalmano, V'chado La'avid Bish. Seven pits, or pitfalls, for the one who chases peace, meaning the one who is peaceful, or does good, he can avoid seven pitfalls. Whereas Chado La'avid Bish, one is enough for someone who does bad. I mean, someone who either is always involved in altercations or does not act appropriately, then even one boar is enough to sink him. So Amar Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, Krok Tiv, we have a pasuk that says, "Is a Mishlei ki Shevo Yipol Tzadik become low. That's what it should say here. The tzaddik falls down. Right? Shevipol tzaddik become low, and he gets up again. Right? And then the pasuk continues, not like we have it in the parentheses, but Rishayim yikashlu bira'a. The Rishayim will trip over their bed. So again, the same idea. How would Abakamar Ba'azil, this person used to say, or always have a common saying, the Azami Beidina, that a person comes out of court, where they just indicted him, or they obligated him, shakul glima, then he took away his coat, and they said they had to return it, that it wasn't his, so he lost the case. Lizamer zemer, v'lizel barucha, he should whistle Dixie and walk away. Why? Because he protected him. They protected him from Gezel. They took care of him. They adjudicated the case, and now he's not holding on to Gezel. He rectified what was wrong. So, Mele Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroktiv, that's a pasuk. Pasuk defend Yitro, v'gam kol ha'am azeh al-makomo yavo b'shalom. Right, so this way, Yitro, when he gives the advice to Moshe, he says in the end, once everything's adjudicated, v'gam kol ha'am it says there, kol ha'am, the entire nation will come b'shalom, and that means both the winner of the case and the loser of the case, yavol b'shalom, will be at peace, things will be settled for them. Oh, da b'kamar b'azio, had common saying they used to say, he naima v'dikula shapil, a woman dozes off, v'dikula, the basket that she keeps on her head, shapil will fall down. So what does that mean? That means that a person who is lazy, a person who is that doesn't take the initiative, ipo dikula shapil, dikula is the basket that holds her sewing materials or her work. So over there, either you won't know what she does because it's fallen off and now you have no idea what she does, or I think the other way you can determine is that when it falls off, it means that nothing will get done. She loses anything, they don't get any, you don't get anywhere. So I'm going to show you the krakti, that's a pasuk, but it's al tayim, with slothfulness, yimach hamikare, then the roof or the ceiling will sag in. Right? This person needs to go along and say, Gavra derechitzna alei, right? The person who I relied upon, and that's what we say in, when we take out the Torah, Be'ana rechitz, in Hashem I trust. So over here, this is the person, the Gavra, the person derechitzna alei that I trusted in, Adya lekizizei vikam. He turned on me. He turned on me, I mean, he turned his sword on me, he turned against me. So the person I was relying on ended up turning on me. So I'm like, Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroktiv, that's a pasuk. Gam ish shlomi, asher batachti bo. Even the man of peace who I relied upon, right, there the pasuk, we don't have this here, it says, achalachmi, he ate my bread, and he gdil alai akev, and he turned his heel on me. So he kicked his heel towards me. So here, the person who is supposedly, the person you're relying on, the person you're depending on, turns on you. All right, now, how Davakamar Vazio, this is a great saying, it's an unbelievable statement of rings of psychology and rings true. Kirichimtin Hava Aziza says, when we were young and our love was strong, Apuchu de Safsira Shchivan, we were able to sleep on the edge of a sword. Hashtra de lo Aziza Rechimtin, now that our love isn't as strong as when we first got married, Puriyar Barshitin Garmide, a bed, even the size of 60 Garmide, Losagilan, is not enough for the both of us. Well, we both can't fit. And that when one is right in love, then they're not so makpid, they overlook right the discomforts or the difficulties just to be together. And then once people, again, they get used to living together or their love has waned somewhat, then the other issues rise to the surface and causes them to quarrel and to have to separate. So again, it could be true about husband and wife, it could be true about individuals, it could be true about any relationship that a person has. Samravuna, Praik Tive, right, so the Pasuk with Sukim that suggests that or support this. In the beginning it says, this is this week's parsha. It says that Hashem says that why you bake the Aron and the Mishkan and there, I will appear to you there and speak to you from me ala kaporet. The kaporet is the cover to the Aron, right? The very thin cover to the Aron. Betanya, we have a brisa. Aron tishav, a kaporet tefach. Right? The Aron is 9 tefachim high and the kaporet is a tefach. Harikana sara, that's 10 tefachim. Uchtiv, later on it says, Bayit Asher Banah Melech Shlomo, when it came to the Aron that was in the Mikdash, over there it says, Hashem, the Bayit that Hashem, Shlomo built for Hashem, Shishim Amah Arko, 60 long, Vesrim Rechbo, and 20 wide, Shloshim Amah Kamoto, and 30 high. So here you have a massive area that's the Kodesh HaKodeshim versus the area now where we're talking about in the Mishkan, which is all 10 Tvachim high where Hashem appears to Moshe. And over there it says, Sovtiv, it says, Nishayahu, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, Varetz Adom Raglai, Eiz Abayit Asher Tivnu Li. Right, the heavens are mine and are my throne, and the earth is my footstool, and what house can you build for me? Meaning that there's no house, nothing that can house me down here. Meaning that the Mikdash is not sufficient. So here, by the time of the Mishkan, when we're in their youth, in the beginning of the relationship with Hashem, they're just even a small Aron could have the presence of the Shekhinah. When it came to the Bnei Yisrael later on, when they fell away or fell out with Hashem, meaning that they were doing wrong, then even then, the Mikdash wasn't big enough to hold the Shekhinah, wasn't sufficient or appropriate to hold the Shekhinah. Alright, now, Gemara goes back to something. It's like all of a sudden we have a little interruption here, and now we go back. The Gemara at the end of yesterday's daf talked about the lo taguru mipneish. You should not withhold from giving information. Meaning that once you've reached the point in the din where you know where it is, or if you heard the litigant speak, lo taguru mipneish. You can't be afraid of giving up psak halacha, even though you know that one of the plaintiffs might, or the defendant might run after you or pester you or causes fear in you, but you have to say what's right. That's it. Or we saw that it referred to a Talmid. Talmid lifnei Rabo should not withhold, should not say something, either because Kvod Rav, or he shouldn't hold out so that he gets all the honor. He should interject in the case and say, this is what I think, or Rebbe, maybe you should think about this. So Mar wants to know, Mai Mashim Tailo Toguru Lishna de Knushehu. How do you know that this word Toguru means don't hold it in? That's what we said before at the Gemara Darshan, Lo Tachnis. Right, that you shouldn't hold it in. That's what Rabbi Chanan said. So how do you know that means? Means not only don't be afraid, but don't hold back from saying what you're supposed to say because of someone else. How do you know it means to bring together or hold back? Rav Nachman Amarkra, V'yayin lo tishteh, v'lo te'egor. So this is a tocha that's found in Devarim. It says that you will plant vineyards, but yet you will lie in lo tishteh, you will drink no wine, v'lo te'egor, and you will not harvest any of the grapes. Lo te'egor is to bring together or bring in. So V'achav bar Yaakov v'mehochav, from this pasuk in Mishlei, tachin b'kayitz lachma, if you prepare in the, this is talking about actually the someone who's lazy, it says take a look at the ants. If you look at it, even the laziest ant in tachin b'kayitz lachma, in the summertime, it will gather together all its food. Ogra b'katsir, ogra b'katsir machala, and it will gather together in the harvest all of its food, meaning that the ant stores up for the winter months, but you have to prepare ahead of time, meaning that even the laziest ant goes to work to make sure that they have what they need. But over there, you see agra b'katsir machala, that agar means to gather together to bring in its food. Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Icha amar mihocha, oger b'kayitz ben maskil. Person who gathers together, someone who brings together in the summertime, Ben Maskil would be is a person of a wise person, a person who is well thought out. So again, Oger means to gather together to bring in. So that's why it's Lota Gormi Pneish means don't gather in, don't hold in what you're supposed to say. Say the Psak Halacha if you're supposed to say it, or that concludes a person who is afraid of the litigants, or a person who is a Talmid of Fnei Rabo, don't hold back. I said, "I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Kol dayan shedan din emet lamito mashreish shechina b'Yisrael. Any person who adjudicates a din properly to get to the truth, he brings in the shechina of Yisrael. Shenemar elukim itzav badat kel bekerav elukim yishpot. Then the Hashem is present in the edah in the court bekerav elukim yishpot. And amongst the Hashem, he will be shofet. Meaning that Hashem's presence is there when he's shofet, when he does the proper adjudicates properly. Kol dayan shedan din emet lamito." A dayan who does not do such, Goran the Shekhinah should still leave Israel. Causes the Shekhinah to leave Israel, Shenamar, because over there it says, Mishod Aniim, Menkat Yonim, from the plundering of those that are poor, from the cry of those that are destitute, Ata Akum Yomar Hashem, now I will get up Hashem and protect them. Meaning that Hashem will leave you and go out to protect them. So you won't be, the Shekhinah won't be there present. You'll have to take revenge or, in a sense, rectify what you have done wrong. So, like this, I think references seems to resonate a little bit with what we said yesterday about those that believe that din is the optimal solution and the proper solution or the better solution here. Because here you see again that the job of the dayan is to reach the truth. Now, it's not mukhrach. You could say that even in a case where pshara is the optimal solution, once we reach din, he has to reach din amito. But the idea that the Shekhinah is present and that din amet is like being like Hashem and being doing what Hashem would otherwise do sounds more parallel about the view that Beis Din is job is to adjudicate, to reach the truth, or to help do what Hashem would otherwise have done. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan kol dayan shenotel mizev noten lezek shlo kedin. For any dayan who does what's wrong, meaning that he comes to the wrong conclusion in the case and takes wrongly takes from one party to the other. Rehim Hakadosh Baruch Hu noten mimenu nafsho. Hashem takes his life from him. Shnemar al tigzal dal ki dal hu. Do not steal from the poor. I don't know if there's a vav here, but in the pasuk it's al tigzal, not tigzol. Al tigzal dal. Do not steal from the poor person ki dalhu, just because he's poor. Val tadakeh. Do not oppress the ani bashar in the gates. I mean, those that are less fortunate that you can take advantage of, don't take advantage of them. Ki Hashem yariv yivam, because Hashem will do the battle for them. The kavad koveim nofesh, and he will steal away. He will take revenge on the souls of those that do so. Dayan, when he comes to judge, should look like as if there's a sword between his legs and Gehenim is open below him. I mean, a judge should not come overconfident and should not be arrogant in din, but he should sense the importance of what he's doing. Shenemar, hinei mitato shli shlomo shishim giborim saviv la mi gibori Yisrael kulam achuzei cherev. From the fear of Gehinom, Shedom Elayla, that is like night. So over here, Rashi says, "Hinei mitatosh Shlomo." That is a shekino shel makom. It's a mashal to Hashem lishlomo, or lishlomo is Hashem. So the Hashem's, the area of Hashem, you need shishim gabrim sala. You need 60 giborim. Those are that not literally giborim, but mudei milchama is those that are holding swords and know the milchama of Torah. Those individuals will surround the bed, meaning to be around the Shekhinah. They are the ones who will keep the Shekhinah there. Those are the ones who can adjudicate properly. It's a matter of fear. A person has to come with the right approach to judgment and not with hubris in any way. Rashi says that 60 means lav dafka over here, 60. The Marsha takes issue with that because he says that 60 is lav dafka in the Gemara. Gemara uses the term 60 as a large number and as some sort of round number. But in Chumash, you don't find the word 60, you don't find 60 as being the number. Here it's in Tanakh. Tanakh, you see numbers like 300 or 400 being exaggerated numbers, or just a number that's given over and over again. Not, maybe not exact number, but 60 is not that. So the Mishnah takes issue with Rashi saying it's lav dafka, and then has to explain why 60 is, it's not easy, but to explain why 60 is a relevant number. All right, now, Dorosh Raboshi Avitamer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Maidichtiv Beit David, Komar Hashem Dino Laboker Mishpat, Itzilu Gazul Miyado Sheik. So what does that mean that the Beit David go do din in the morning, right, and adjudicate and steal away, take away or save the stolen materials from those that are oppressed or taken from or have had their monies taken? What do you mean? In the morning you judge, in the afternoons you don't? What does that mean? It's a half day job. If you're clear on what the position should be or what the psak should be, say it. If not, don't say it. You have to say, I don't know. Don't just give psak alocha because you're a judge. You have to give psak alocha when you know what the right answer is. If you don't know what the right answer is, you have to say, I don't know. Chia, barav amar Rabbi Yonatan, mihocha. If you learn from here, amor lechachma choltiat. You are my sister. She's like, no, your sister, it's obvious to you that your sister is right, not permitted to you. Then say it. If not, don't say it. I mean, again, the same idea that if you know clearly what should be said here, say it. If not, you have to say, I don't know. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asarash Yoshvim Bedin, Kular Toloi Bitzavar Kulan. 10 people are sitting to judge. There is a collar around all of them. You know, they're all reined together, they're all tied together. What does that mean? That means that they're all in it, they're on the hook. If there's a bad decision or one of them does something wrong, they're all responsible. They're all obligated for that problem. So they all have to, one is responsible for the other. They have to be careful. Each one has to be careful and be careful that nobody else makes mistakes. Pshita, the Gemara says, of course that's the case. It's not just the judges themselves, but even Talmidim who are sitting there and their Rebbe does something wrong, they're going to be held accountable for what the Rebbe did wrong if they don't speak up and they don't stop them. Rav Huna Kiyava Alta Dina Lekameh, this is very interesting. Rav Huna, when he used to have a case come with him, Michnef Umayti Yasar Rabbanan Mi Bei Rav. He used to go gather together 10 other Rabbanan from the base medrash of Rav. Amar Kiyeche Delamtei Shiva Mikshura. So that in order that they will diffuse some of the anger that comes against me. So very interesting, meaning that they're like boards of wood. Meaning that they'll be, the pressure will be dispersed amongst many. So he brought in other people so that if something went wrong, he wouldn't be the sole recipient of the anger of Hashem in that case, but it would be spread amongst others. It's an interesting reason to bring in other people with you. Rav Ashi Kiyava Ate Trifta Lekamei, when a trefa used to come perform to see if the animal was a trefa, Machni Maite Luhu Luku Tavke de Matamachsia. So bring in all the butchers from Matamachsia. Here, butchers mean who know trefot, experts in trefot. And Mark Echadem Tin Shiva Mikshura. Again, the idea that they will diffuse the anger if he does something wrong, it won't be all on his shoulders, it'll be on the shoulders of others. I think that you can't just say simply about the blame here, that it's just an issue that he's bringing in blame, but I think he's looking for other opinions to sound off his ideas and to make sure that he's doing wrong. Other people can correct him in these situations so he doesn't make a mistake. Right? The more challenges a person has, then generally it sharpens what he has to say and helps them come to the right conclusion. Alright, Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar, Darash Rav Nachum Bar Kohen, Mai Dechtiv. What does it mean? Melech B'mishpat Yamid Aretz. Right, a king in justice will establish the nation. Be'ish Trumot Yehesena. And the man of graft, Yersena, will destroy it. A person, it's interesting that the term Trumot is used in that way. This week's parsha of Truma, it is a positive sense, but over here the Truma used in a negative sense, which is interesting. Im Dayan Domeh L'Melech, if a Dayan is like a king, She'enu Zarich L'Klum, Yamid Eretz, then he will be able to establish a nation or uphold the land. V'dor L'Kohen, if he's like a Kohen, She'machzer B'Beit HaGranot, he goes around begging or taking and asking people for Truma, Yersena, he will destroy it. So the way Rashi brings the interpretation over here is that means that a person who is self-sufficient, he knows halacha, he knows how to paskin, then he'll yamid eretz, and there won't be any questions. A person who is like a kohen, let's go around asking other people for what the din is, doesn't know the halacha, then he shouldn't be a dayan, and he'll be, right, he'll destroy the earth, because he's going to be judging inappropriately, because he doesn't really know the conclusion. Tosfos brings, which I would have thought, Tosfos brings from the Gemara in Ketubot, which is that the interpretation here is that someone should be self-sufficient in terms of their monetary needs. They should have their own, they should be wealthy enough that they don't need to accept bribes. And not like a Kohen, someone who's poor depends on this for his livelihood, because then people could easily bribe him in order to sway the cases. The Asanasi appointed a judge who was not learned. Against he bought the position, and the position was not, he shouldn't have been in that position. Amala Yehuda Bar Nachmeni. So they came to Yehuda Bar Nachmeni and says, Meturgamenei Reish Lakish, he was the microphone of Reish Lakish. Again, this is the idea that in their day, the Rav used to whisper into the ear, Meturgaman, and Meturgaman would project. Both he would translate it possibly into Aramaic if it wasn't Aramaic, but also would project his voice so the people could hear what the Talmud Chacham was saying. Kumalei Ba'amora. So they said to this individual, you have to go in front of this inappropriate Dayan and be his Amora, being his, you know, spokesperson, his microphone. Kam Gachinalei. So he got up and he listened to him, bent over to hear what he had to say. V'lamarlei v'lomidei. He had nothing to say. This guy was an empty, right, an empty suit. He wasn't Ra'oi. He had nothing to say. They wanted to darshan in public. He has nothing to be Doresh. So Patach Amar, so Yehuda Bar Nachmeni took the initiative, got up and started to say what did he say? Hoy Omer La'etz Hakitza Uri La'evin Dumam. Woe is the one who says to the wood, right, get up, and to the stone, the silent stone, awaken. You know, he's talking about inanimate objects and he's taking them, come to life, these animate objects. Hu Yoreh, right, he's going to be able to teach. Hinehu, right, tafus, zahav v'chesef, v'cho ruach ein b'kirbo. Right, he's holding on. They're coated with gold and silver, and there's nothing inside of him. So that's basically he was describing this individual, right, that he had the appearance of being a dayan, and he looked so good, but he was empty inside. He was full of air inside of him. There was nothing to him. The same way that the pasuk's describing about here, it's inanimate objects, making them into avodah zarah. Here you take a tree and a stone and you dress them up to be avodah zarah, but inside of them there's no life. There's nothing to them. So the same thing here. There's nothing to this guy. So he went ahead, and since he had nothing to say, he went ahead and said for him that you're not in the appropriate position. V'atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lipra Mima'amidin, that Hashem will then take out punishment on those that appoint these inappropriate people. Shenemar, because the pasuk continues, the next pasuk says, Hashem Be'ichal Kodesho Has Mipanav Kol Haaretz. Hashem is there in His right in His home or in His Heichal.
I thought maybe there's an allusion to the Arab because it's with the wood with the gold on top.
Oh, very interesting. I didn't think of that. Right. I didn't think of that. Very nice idea. Right, this week's parasha, right? The Aron was wood with gold around it, but there it's Hashem Be'echal Kacho. That's an Eichal of Hashem. That's okay. Hasmi Panav Kolart. Land should be silent in front of him, meaning that he's going to silence the land for acting inappropriately. Amar Yish Lakish called Mamed Dayan, Sheinu Hagun, Kilo Notei Asherah B'Yisrael. Any person who appoints an inappropriate judge, it's as if he planted an Asherah, planted a Avodah Zarah. Shenemar. Shuftim v'shotrim titen lecha, says that you should put up, you should appoint judges. V'samechle lo titen lecha asherah kol eitz, says right after the pasuk says don't plant an eitz, eitz al mizbach Hashem. So here the person who doesn't appoint the proper shuftim, it's as if he plants an asherah. Marshal says, explains here that the dayan's job, what's the dayan's job? The dayan's job is to be, right, it's like the, almost like the Elohim, right? We said before that the description of the a judge, he shares a common name with Hashem. It's Elohim and Elohim. They share a common name. They're supposed to be like Hashem. So over here, if he is inappropriate, and he's not right to be there, then what is he doing? He's like Oved Avodah Zarah. It's like he's planting an Asherah. Instead of making him Mizbach Hashem, he's putting an Asherah there. Maravashi, Makom Sheish Tamei Chachamim, Kilo Natovei Tzal Mizbach. In a place where there is Tamei Chachamim, and he appoints someone inappropriate, where there was somebody more appropriate, then it's even worse. Shenemar Eitzal Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. It's as if he planted the Avodah Zarah right next to the Mizbach. The Mizbach, which is the vehicle for worshipping Hashem, he plants an Asherah right there. Because it says, K'tiv Lo Tasuniti Elohei Kesev Elohei Zahav. It's only gold and silver that you can't make, but out of wood it's okay. So Ravashi, ha abba bishvil kesef, eloha abba bishvil zahav. And we're talking about eloha here, meaning not God necessarily, but a judge who is appointed because of silver or because of gold, meaning that he paid for the position, or because of some sort of honor you want to grant someone. That is what it says, lo tasuniti, don't do such things. Don't make gods that are, don't appoint judges. Again, you see the term Elohim and used interchangeably between God and judges. And this that's last week's parsha, which is Elohim lo tekalel. So there could either be Elohim lo tekalel or Elohim lo tekalel. Again, they're used interchangeably. The Rashbam says that Hashem and the judge, it's an azhara. Rashi brings it down also. It's an azhara for both cursing the judge and Chas v'Shalom cursing Hashem. So those are used the same terms. So same thing over here. Lo tazuni di Elohei ches v'lozav. Don't make foreign gods. Don't make the judges who are supposed to be Elohim. They're supposed to be, right, interchangeable with God. Again, the same idea that a judge or judging is not simply adjudication, but doing the work of God. And therefore, someone who bribes their way in or does something appropriate, right, then it's lo tasuni li kesef. It's like a bodhisattva. Right. Very good. Rav, when Rav used to go to court, on his way to court, he used to say, "Birot nafshei katala nafik." They say, "Birot nafshei." This person wants to go out to die, meaning that not literally die, but here he is. He's risking his life. Why? Because he's going to do adjudicate cases. He's going to Beis Din, and his life's on the hook. Because if he does something wrong, Hashem's going to take retribution from him. V'tzvi beitei leitu avid. The needs of his house, he's not taking care of. Meaning that he's not taking care of his own personal needs. He's going to take care of the needs of others. He comes back home empty-handed. Meaning he doesn't get paid for his work. Because you can't charge for being a dayan. Right? And the best situation you can hope for is that he comes home the way he left. Meaning he didn't lose any money. Because if he adjudicates the case wrong, right, then he has to pay up out of his own pocket. So the best situation is come back like he left with nothing. So that here he's saying about himself that you go to a judge, right? This is, you have to keep in mind that this is not the it's not for his own good, it's not for his own benefit, but it's simply for the benefit of the people, and he shouldn't get right. He shouldn't get some sort of arrogance about it. Right. Right. Right, so you should come in whole without chait. I think the Mashiach takes issue with Rashi's explanation because that is going to say the same thing. So he says one of them is the payment to salary, rekan beitei ayo, and one of them is about if he does something wrong. It's either chait or having to pay up the money. That would be the case. So now, Kiavi Achazi Amvua Abatre, when he used to say a large crowd coming after him, and that he was a Talmud Chacham and he is like a star, if he see a large amount of people coming behind him, Amari would say about himself, Imi Ale L'Shamayim Si'o, if his eminence rises to the heavens, K'lelo L'Netzach Yoved, he will be lost like dung forever. I mean, but there's a dot, dot, dot there. The pasuk has other things in between. But here it means that if a person holds himself in high esteem, or, you know, he gives as a hubris about himself, in the end, he will be lost like the dung and ruined like the dung. Meaning that don't be so haughty. Don't take it to heart that these people are following you. It's not about you. Right, so, he's carrying them on their shoulders, and the Shabbos of the regel. So Rashi explains here, it's interesting, just to give some of the historical aspects of it. Carry them on their shoulders. She was kenim. They were very old. They couldn't run. And tzibur had to stand up while they got to their place in the Beis Medrash or in the Beit Knesset. Their servants used to pick them up on their shoulders and run them into their place so the people could sit down quickly, so it wouldn't be a tircha on the tzibur. So when they used to do that for him, Amar Hachi, Kilolam Hussein, right, Nazir Lador Bador. Person's not forever, right? Person holds the reins and is not a Nazir for generation after generation, meaning that this is all temporary. Don't take it to heart that this is something important about you. From where is this that the Rabbanan say, Abu Mutunim Bedin, be patient in adjudicating cases. It says you should not run up the stairs to Mizbech, and it says right afterwards, Velu Amishpatim. It's a lo tale b'malot, is that you should not scamper up quickly. As Rashi says, meaning that you should take your time going up to the Mizbeach. Same idea here, that you should take your time in adjudicating the case. I'm Rabbi Eliezer, minayin l'dayan shalei yafsa rosh am kodesh. How do you know that a dayan should not step on the individuals? Shneamar lo tale b'ma'alot. It shouldn't go up on the steps. Samech lei ve'ela mishpatim. These are the mishpatim. So now the idea is that a person should not, when they come late to the drasha, or when they come in, if you look in the Rashi, it says, when he was given the drasha, you'd see board, yoshvim la'aretz, they would sit on the ground. But mafsiya b'neim, someone who's hip-hopping between them, or, you know, walking between them, try to get to their location, it's as if he's stepping on their heads. So they should get there early, so they don't have to look like they're stepping over the people on their heads to get to their location. Asher tasim, what is it? Asher tasim, asher talamdeim mi baile. What do you mean asher tasim before them? It should be asher talamdeim, that you should teach them. Am rabirim yavivitim rab chir bava elu klei hadayanim. That means asher tasim is the utensils or the tools of the dayanim. What are the tools of the dayanim? So that we'll see in a second. Some of the tools. Rav Unak, you have an offer to dina. He says when he used to go out to din, amar hach afikuli mane. Chanutai, take out my my utensils for the store, my work clothes, my whatever I need, my work bag, my briefcase. What do I need there? Makel v'ritzua v'shofra v'sandula, my staff, my ritzua, right, my whip, shufra, and my shofar to put somebody into nidui v'sandula for chalitza, and these were the tools of his trade. Right, v'tzavet shuftechem v'itahi. So I told you the shoftim at that time. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan keneged makel b'ritzua tehei zariz. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what did Moshe say about tzaveh? We know the word tzav means zariz. Be strong and quickly to take care of these things. What does it mean zariz? And prepare yourself. It means take a makel and a ritzua, so that you should place ema. The people should be afraid of you. That you have ema letzibor agar l'shem shemayim. That it should be done l'shem shemayim. But you should adjudicate and cause the people to realize that there are repercussions to their actions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry. Shamua ben achichem v'shafatetem tzedek. Right, what does it mean? Shamua ben achichem. It's Amar Rabbi Chanina azara the beit din shlo yishma divrei baldin kodem shavu baldin chaveiro. It's a warning that they should not hear the case or one of the position of one of the litigants before the other one is present. And the same warning is for the one who comes to present the case. He should not bring his case before the dayan until his counterparty, until his right, the other litigant is there, present. Because the shamua ben achachem has to be amongst your brothers, and then you judge. So both parties have to be present. Ben achachem. Kari Beinami, Shamua, Shama ben Achichem. Right, that we read also not Shamua, but Shama ben Achichem. You should be heard amongst your brothers. So that is the Baldin must be heard amongst his brothers. Kana Amar Yocha, it says from Masud Sparsha, which is, Lotasi. You should not, carry oneself, Lotasi. To yourself, you shouldn't be. It says over there, Lotisa Shema Shav, right? Something about Eif Hamas, right? So there, it's an Azhara for the Dayan that he should not tasi the Baldin. He should not favor or look towards one of the Balidim. Not just simply Lotisa, Lotasi. You should not favor the outcome of the Din, but Lotasi. You shouldn't even favor one of the Balidim. Alright. Ushvatatem Zedek, you have to adjudicate. Justly, Amar Reish Lakish, Tzedak et Adin, V'chakach Chatcheu. Tzedak Adin, take a careful look at the din, and then Chatcheu, and then cut it. I mean, then give your position the answer. Don't judge without first looking into the case very carefully. So the idea of Tzedak or Tzedak here means don't rush to conclusions over here. And what's that mean? Ben Ish uben Achiv. What does it mean, Ben Ish uben Achiv? Uben Gero is Amar Rav Yehuda, Afilu ben Bait Aliyah ben Gero. So even if it's between a house, two brothers that their father left them a house, one is the Aliyah, one's the house, don't just go quite, you know, willy-nilly and say, you get the upstairs, you get the downstairs, it's all the same to you, what do you care? Or Ben Gero, or with, you know, utensils or movable items, you know, you have an oven and he has a stove, you take the oven, doesn't matter. No, you have to be careful. You have to take into consideration that one's worth more, one's worth less. What's the trouble a person has to do? What do people need? You have to look into the matter. You can't just willy-nilly bring conclusions or settle between parties. You have to really take the time to look into the situation. Even between a stove and an oven. Right? Don't favor him, or if he is your, if someone that you know well, don't show favoritism towards one of the parties, or do not treat one of the parties differently, because you know them. Right, the other way around also. Do not act distant or difficult with one of the parties because he's your sone, you are someone you dislike. So lo tinakeru, right? Don't tinakeru, don't distance yourself or treat him in a harsh manner, right? By Yosef and the brothers, that's the term that's used, right? Ve'it naker alehem. That term, ve'it naker alehem. Uzbizchenei derav, he was his host. He was his bed and breakfast host. Atagla made the dina. He came before him for a din. So he says, aren't you one of my guests in the bed and breakfast? So he says to Rav, I'm alone. Rav says, yes. He says, listen, I have a din. You know, after he, you know, talks about his relationship with Rav, he says, I have a din to bring him here. I'm no longer appropriate to be the judge in this case. I'm going to have to recuse myself from the case because you discussed or pointed out our relationship, and our relationship makes it so I'm inappropriate to judge. Tosfos points out over here that this was not Mikar Adin. Technically, Rav could have judged the case, but Rav wanted to be above and be, you know, above board here, and did not show any signs of favoritism. So therefore, he says, no going, I'm not going to judge this case. And it might have been that he sensed, we're going to see in a second, he sensed the problem with the Baldin. That the Baldin's actions were affected by the fact that he knew Rav, and therefore he didn't want to judge the case because he thought it was inappropriate. So what does he do? He passes the case to his Talmud. So Amalei wrote the Rav, the Rav Kahana, he gives it to Rav Kahana, Pope Dainin. So he goes, you go adjudicate this. Chazi Adavah called Gois. He saw the bait, that he saw that this individual was still haughty because he knew that he knew Rav, and that Rav was going to take care of him. He thought that Rav would take care of him because Rav Kahana, Rav, I have the in. Rav will take care of me. So Amalei, Itzaiti Itzaita, either you start listening and shape up over here, right? I'll take Rav out of your ear. Meaning that, what does that mean? I'll put you into Nidui. Rav's not going to help you anymore, basically what he's saying. Rav is not going to be coming to your assistance anymore. You need to, this is the case that you're coming in front of me, and that's the case. You're going to have to act appropriately, and you're going to have to listen to what I say, and not rely on Rav helping you out anymore, because Rav accused himself, and he's not a part of this case anymore. Okay, we'll stop over here.